Hope so.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
We're
Guess,
back.
yeah, guess who I have front and center? The illustrious Superman, Scott Wakefield. And
Good
we're
morning,
here
Dennis.
coming to you through the medium of Zoom. Scott's
Soup.
been pounding the iron and feeling good. He's coming to us from Clackamas, Oregon. I'm coming to you from Wilsonville, Oregon.
I'm in the
And
bunker. Don't tell anybody.
yeah, the book right off. But we're happy to be here and talking again about what it means to live as Jesus, and particularly how Scott is seeing that being worked out in his life. And he's got some new updates and further developments in his story and his journey. So now, what's been the highlight in the since the last podcast we did back in September? I think we were talking about something in the realm of blessings, how you felt blessed. And,
I still do.
yeah.
I still feel like I'm living a blessed life. I don't, that might fly in the face of traditional institutional Christian thinking and theology, but I haven't, I talk to the Lord. The Lord is me. He's in me. I don't repent every day. I don't, isn't that funny how in order, you and I both grew up in the system. In order to feel blessed, we have to somehow repent for the stuff we've done. And as if the death of Christ Jesus on the cross was not enough to rid us of any guilt that we might have. But
Right
no,
on.
I feel like I'm living a blessed life right now, and
Okay.
it's taken me a long time to realize that, a really long time. You know,
Well,
through your and my conversations and the reading I've done, you know, and looked into, it's just more and more I come to realize that, hey, this is a good life that we're living.
Amen. And could you compare this life, you say a good life you're living? What has the difference of knowing Christ in you made in that? And let's say you were not aware of that knowledge now. Could you be still as affirmed in thinking you were blessed?
No, back then, before, I want to call it the revelation of the Father, because that's what it was. He revealed that in me, that he was me. But up until that point, there was a lot of guilt.
Sure.
There was a lot of shame for, you know, for the things that I'd done. I know the things that I did. And that was, you know, a big part of my memory. You know,
Sure.
how could God love a person like me who still continued to do bad things and who still continued to sin, even though Jesus died to take that away from me? You still carry that, you know, you still carry that with you.
Right. But the awareness of Christ in you, though, has done away with that or eliminated. How does that?
The knowledge that Jesus became sin on my behalf, that I wouldn't have to suffer those consequences,
Right.
suffer that penalty. People talk about the freedom in Christ. This is it.
All right.
Knowing that you're free from, like, as Paul described, free from the slavery of sin.
It's interesting, isn't it, that modern Christianity, well, it isn't so much modern, it's been for the centuries that Christianity has made an issue out of sin, right? Every Sunday, as you've spoken before, was kind of a reminder, oh, yeah, people, you're still Still being tempted, still living in sin. You got to pray through. You got to get victory. Maybe you have a demon you need to have cast out. But
when you were on staff, I think that was the sin issue was every pastor's calling card.
Hey,
you know, they, you had to use that. You had to pound it home. You had to, because that made people feel, hey, I need to be here in church with my brethren in order to resolve this issue.
Absolutely. God, it was our, you may have said it. It was our bread and butter. It was our sustainability. Mm-hmm. We worked from that angle every Sunday. Every message was from the standpoint of you need to be better.
Yeah.
And here's the good news of how you can be better. Right? So get into a group, get into your Bible, do some more serious praying, maybe even fasting. Yeah.
Don't forget the tithing.
Oh, yeah. Now, see, oh boy.
That's another issue right there.
Maybe we shouldn't go there. So you're feeling blessed. You're aware of how the Father and Christ live in you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you wanted to share a little more practically how it's impacting your personal health journey. You had some things going on.
I had originally contacted you this past week because there is something that's been on my heart for a while that I could probably, you know, possibly motivate people to,
okay,
you know, to enjoy the same benefits that I've been enjoying.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, fitness wise. And what brought that on my heart is that I'm not that, you know, the same person that I used to be.
Okay.
Something, you know, something's changed. You look at the life of Paul before, you know, when he walked down that road to Damascus that day.
Mm-hmm.
Something changed.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened to me. I've been doing the fitness thing off and on since around 2008, 2009.
All right.
So it's been a while. There's a couple injuries along the way where I was helped along by some very good physical therapists who taught me how to, you know, to do the different exercises and that kind of thing. And I was blessed with that. But the big thing that's really changed lately is that I enjoy what I'm doing.
Amazing.
And that's one thing, that's the one thing that I would like to share with, with those people out there who are thinking about exercising more or thinking about improving their health, is you have to enjoy what you're doing.
And that's where you, I honestly say, that is amazed me with you, that you thoroughly enjoy pushing those unbelievable weights over your head or
it's all in a day's work, brother.
To each his own, okay? But I, at the same time, I agree with you because there are certain types of exercises I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy just a 1 to 2 mile walk. Or for me, it's not pushing weights, but give me some landscape to work on. You know, some weeds to pull, some trees to prune.
And
I grew up on a farm, and I thoroughly enjoyed working on the fences and cutting the weeds and this kind of stuff. All right.
And that would be my point. That would be my point. My next point to anybody who's in that frame of mind or wants to start something.
Mm-hmm.
Find something you enjoy doing.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be somebody, you know, you can go down to the, you know, to a gym or a fitness club and all you do is walk on a treadmill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But let me give you a warning. Let me give you a warning, as it happened to me.
Yeah, don't fall off.
No. When you go out there and you start that program of walking on that treadmill, believe me, it's going to lead to more.
All right.
All right. It's going to lead to more.
Now, what's more?
As it did with me.
What is? Oh, okay. So more. Got to have more than the treadmill. Got to.
Okay. Oh yeah.
All right.
I saw those. I was walking on the treadmill. For a few days. Early in my journey, and I saw those weight benches sitting there, and those guys pushing those barbells up, and I'm thinking to myself, "Hey, I could do that."
See, this is the part I say is amazing. It's your journey. It's what I see transpiring in you. What is the correlation, Scott, between what we just talked about in knowing Christ and this journey in fitness? Is there anything that's connecting here for you?
It's Paul. I mentioned that Paul talks to us about being no longer being a slave to sin.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I was a slave to bad habits.
Ah.
And I still cheat every now and then, but it's few and far between. It's more of a
cheater.
Yeah. I should be condemned.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But I think you're hitting a point here. Elaborate more. I don't want to steal what you're saying though, but I think you're onto something.
Yeah. When I say that I was a slave to bad habits, whereas I would come home after work and I'd be so dog tired, from working all day, that the first thing I would do is I would sit down in front of the TV and I would reach for that bag of potato chips or that yeah. soda or whatever, anything that was that I kept on hand.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like a, they were like a comfort food for me.
Sure. Okay.
And that's the first thing that I would take in.
Okay.
And none of that made me feel good.
Right.
All it did was make me feel like I was, just adding to the and perpetuating the negative image that I had of myself because of my appearance.
Aha. Okay. So you weren't, what I hear you saying is you weren't feeling all that good about yourself.
You know that because I've shared with you before that my appearance was, my own perception of myself was not good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was before that I knew, knew the reality of who I really am.
Okay.
But
so feeling not inspired is coming out of a kind of a damaged image, if you will, of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The sin issue, feeling
my image of myself was tied to the opinion, my appearance, not of who I really was inside.
Yeah. Okay.
That was my perception of myself.
What? Wow. See, I can see this in you, and I'm sure others that have maybe traversed with you and walked with you can see this transformation. I really commend you, and I'm excited that this knowledge of Christ and who you are, the freedom that he's given you, has unlocked, as it were, a whole new passion, a whole new potentiality in your life. Now,
well,
you...
I hope so. You're the one that started it.
Well, I... Hey, don't blame me.
Yeah, don't blame the messenger, right?
It's Jesus' fault, all right? But my little doggy wants to bark, and I want to go take care of him. Hold on, we're going to pause just a moment. All right, hold on. All right, I'm back. Sorry about that.
We know who runs that house.
Yes, doggy that sees people in the window, and he likes to alert or talk to them. Anyway, so you've come to a new awareness of who you are, and it's unlocked for you a new fondness for bettering your health, bettering everything.
The scripture, there is a scripture which tells us your body is the temple of Christ.
Right.
you know, I might be trying to interpret it a literal, you know, maybe too, a little bit too lib, you know, literally. Mm-hmm. But why wouldn't I want to, you know, have the best physical body that I can?
I agree.
If it's Jesus is the one that's inhabiting it.
Sure. No, there's plenty of scripture that talks about really giving value to the temple instead of doing things that injure or destroy or corrupt it. Yeah, that message is very clear.
Yeah.
And even Paul, and you can find references to his whole admonition of keeping yourself fit and pressing on and doing things of training physically, mm-hmm. running the race, training it as an athlete. That's all right there in the scripture. But the thing that I'm noticing here that's really critical, I see people going into fitness programs, right, and doing amazing things, okay? But I often wonder if they're really happy with what they're doing or if it's an effort to try to change themselves somehow. I watch these people then become very proud of all the muscular skeletal changes they've made. But I wonder if that's an effort to change how they feel about themselves.
Yeah.
Or is it begin like you saw? No, the inside is changing. Now I love doing this, and however God works through it.
And you know
what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I have seen the guys, and you know, and the ladies that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
who go down there, and you know, put in, you know, do a lot of hard work, you know, improving themselves, and their focus isn't on health. Their focus is on how good they look.
Yeah,
you know, how good they can, you know, how good their physical appearance can
mm-hmm.
be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thinking or tying that into this will make me, this will improve how others see me. This will improve how other people look at me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that might be the case. You know, maybe, you know, for shallow-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not going to change who you are inside.
Amen.
Just like me, where any amount of exercise that I do cannot change the fact that the Father is in me.
Mm-hmm.
That's just who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Any amount of exercise that somebody else does, that's not going to change who you really are.
Right.
In fact, I think a lot of people, as you and I have discussed before, a lot of people out there have this distorted view that they are somehow separated from God, that they are their own self.
Okay.
And you and I both know that was one of, you know, one of our first, not debates, but revealings, is that we are not our own self.
No. Yeah.
If the Father is in us, we don't exist independent of Him. We are Him.
Your internet's breaking up just a little bit, so hopefully I didn't miss what you're saying. Are you back?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, internet was just breaking in and out. Yeah, Scott, it really saddens me to see people, though, coming at this as a means to gain identity or gain more affirmation about or confidence about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when they begin to, and some of them, unfortunately, post pictures of themselves in Facebook or TikTok or wherever, and you just have this sense, oh, don't go there. I don't want to look at this. There is a
young lady. She was there this morning when I was down at the gym doing my thing. She has to be about 17, 18 years old. I don't know her story. I've never talked to her. You know, pretty attractive girl. But it seems like her main purpose is to go down to the gym, do a couple exercises, and the whole time she's taking selfies of herself, standing in front of the mirror and doing that thing. And I'm like, what? And I'll say it flat out. If that is your motivation for going, you know, for going to the gym and doing your thing, don't bother. Because you're throwing good money after bad at that point, and it's not worth
Well,
it.
this culture we're seeing and experiencing right now is very much into me, exposing who I want others to think I am. Boy, that you're right, that the stuff that I just feeding right into this hunger, especially this young generation, the youngest generation, and it's just providing them a means to walk into that temptation so easily. And it leads some of them, unfortunately, especially as you mentioned, some of the women down trails that become actually destructive, into false eating habits and whatever. And that's why some countries and even cities are trying to ban that whole social media, because it's so alluring. But I have, what saddens me is I've seen what I felt mature believers, friends, going on this route, and oh my, I know they want to be a personification of strength and age or whatever, but it just does not appeal to me. And I may be off base, Scott, but I,
No, I don't think you are at all. Like we said, you know, at the beginning of our conversation today, you have to enjoy what you're doing. If you're out there, you know, working the back 40, you know, and you're putting in, you know, a pretty good effort, and if that's your exercise, and you're happy as a clam doing that, then that's your thing.
So are you anxious to post the next progress on Facebook and show off your illustrious body to everybody?
One thing you'll find that I do, when I get down to the gym, I pretty much turn my phone off. That's not why I'm down there. I go down there to do my work and to get that done. And I have a plan every time I go in there of what I have to do. Then once I get out of the gym, then I can turn the phone back on and go about my, you know, the rest of my day.
So you're not into posting pictures of yourself, million selfies, and saying, "Look at me."
Oh no. In fact, I'm still kind of enslaved by the image of myself. You know, that's a work in progress. But I know I'm getting better, but I'm still not, and I don't think I'll ever be to the point where I'm gonna stand in front of the mirror down there and take a picture of, you know, take a picture of my muscles and that. Number one, because I think it looks foolish and you're just showing off
Excuse
for other people.
me.
And I've talked to a few of the of my friends down there at the gym, and they're, you know, of the same mind. You know, people who do that are just, they're there for the wrong reasons.
Well, they wonder about you, though, in that community that's really so focused upon body image, right? Do they push you or tempt you or lure you into that, or maybe you
I've had a few people a few people ask me, you know, why I don't carry my phone with me. And, you know, I just tell them, you know, that's not what I'm here for.
Yeah.
But you'll see people down there, you know, sitting on the weight benches, and they're not actually exercising. What they're doing is they're scrolling through their phone, you know. And it makes me want to, you know, just like walk up to him and tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, buddy, you know, if you're not going to use that, let me.
Yeah. Get off this machine and go sit somewhere else and scroll. Now, there's something else that's been happening that maybe is worth sharing with our listeners and viewers here, Scott.
What, Israel?
No. We don't want to go there. No, it's with you and this community that I see forming around you or with you.
Oh, the Gym Rats.
Yes. Now, for everybody's information, this is Scott's affectionate description of his fellow Iron Gym compatriots.
Let's
I like it. Okay.
Let's clarify the definition of why I came up with that name. A gym rat is somebody who lives down at the gym, who's always down there. You know, you always see him. Yeah. Well, when I first started getting really serious about doing this, these were some of the people that I would always see down there.
Sure.
Casey was the first one that I introduced myself to. We talk every now and then, but I didn't really introduce myself to him. You know, then I introduced my, you know, I finally introduced myself, and we, you know, I'd see him and talk to him every, you know, every time I went down there. And Casey, I haven't seen for a while. I think his brother passed away earlier in the summer, and okay. I haven't seen him since then. So,
oh, you know, sorry about
he'll,
that. Yeah.
He'll show up. He'll show up eventually. And we'll catch up.
Yeah.
But these are the guys that I pretty much see on a day-to-day basis who are down there when I'm doing my thing.
Okay.
Those are the gym rats.
Okay. Now, again, a little bit more of the backstory here for everybody listening. Would you say, Scott?
You know more about it than I do. What are you talking
about? Well, I've known you, okay? So I want to take the liberty here of sharing some things that I think is really, really positive. I've known you in the past to be rather a, what would you say?
Withdrawn.
Okay. I know we did a podcast here, a year or so ago about bunkering. And remember that? And you admit it. Yes, you've had your seasons of being bunkered. And yeah.
That all tied into the negative image that I had of myself.
Yeah, absolutely. When you're not feeling good about yourself, who do you want to be? You don't want to fellowship with others. You just don't feel worthy or accepted or So yeah, that's very, very evident. And so now though, in what we've talked about, your revelation of who you are in Christ and Christ in you and the Father, it seems to have led you or resulted now in drawing you out of that isolation.
Yeah, I've kind of stepped out of my comfort zone within especially this past summer. And you know, getting to know some of the what I call the gym rats who are down there.
Sure.
And so far we don't have any female gym rats, but that I'm not opposed. You know, just so everybody knows, I'm not opposed to it.
You're right.
I just
let that be known.
Yeah, I just haven't gotten to know any of them yet.
But here's the amazing thing and exciting thing for me is that you have found a community where you feel accepted, where you're a part, and I sense in you not so much as needing that community as you're there trying to support others there. You've turned it around. There's some people who just love to be a part. Please, please let me belong. I don't see that happening in you. I hear you talk about the gym rats and that community more from a point of view of, hey, just as you mentioned, our brother Casey is going through an issue. I really, you know, I hear in your heart a concern. So it's turned around for you.
The dirty, what some people will call the dirty little secret of the gym rat crew,
mm-hmm.
is that very few of them know that I'm a Christian.
Yeah. Huh. Okay.
I let my actions and I let my inner self speak for me.
Okay.
So they might not know that I'm a Christian, or I haven't revealed that to a lot of them, but through, as you know, as Jesus said, let your light shine before men,
right? Ah, okay.
Which is basically what I've been doing.
So you're not feeling.
I don't feel that I have to announce that I'm a Christian if I'm living as Christ would.
So, are you telling me, Scott, you're not feeling compelled to drop the biblical hammer on him?
Hey, you know, that's as a former pastor, you could probably relate. You know, the success rate of that approach.
Yes. I need more than however many confessions to get.
How many souls did you save, Dennis?
Oh, my. Yeah. See, I love it, Scott. You don't have an agenda.
No.
Most people would go into an environment like that as a hunter and say, oh, boy, this is my hunting ground. I'm going to save souls here. I'm going to see how many I can get into the kingdom of God.
Our friend David, who lives up in Spokane right now.
Yeah.
One of his first ministries,
mm-hmm.
was simply going down to the local coffee shop and reading his scripture, reading his Bible by himself in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as time went on, more and more people were becoming curious as to what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he invited those people into his conversation, mm-hmm. where today he still has more than a few, you know, friends that he's developed those relationships with.
Exactly. That community that grew as a result of that are still, mm-hmm. some of his greatest contacts. He still has relationship with these people.
Yeah.
There were some bonds that were formed that were ageless.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's going to be happening or is happening with new?
Oh, I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be a time, and I'm letting the Father lead this.
Okay.
It's not something that I'm, you know, that I want to push forward. It's not by my will, it's by His.
Yeah.
But there's going to be, you know, there's going to come a time when somebody is going to wonder and say, you know, there's something about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the opening where I can say, well, let me tell you a story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and as you say, they're seeing your story.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nonverbal story. You are what I believe Paul refers to as a living epistle. You're a living letter. It's not written in words. It's written in behavior, attitudes, however you manifest that character of Christ.
Yeah, you and I have had the conversation before where his word, his commandments,
mm-hmm.
are written on our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way that it is with me.
Sure.
The Lord, you know, the Lord's word is written on, mm-hmm. my heart. It's not, mm-hmm. it's not in the book.
Yep.
It's on my heart. He's in me. His desires and his words are in me.
Mm-hmm. So have you had opportunities to talk life with these other gym rats in the sense that you just mentioned with Casey, you know that he must have shared with you that he's lost a loved one in his family?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a pretty long conversation the last time I talked to him, just before summer, and he was preparing for the funeral.
Wow.
And we had a pretty good, you know, 15, 20 minute conversation about, you know, I shared with him about, you know, how I lost my mom and,
mm-hmm.
how that affected me. And
Wow. No, see, that's life. That's sharing life. That's where Christ comes through. And just showing that interest in him and wanting to hear his story, that is powerful. You're not even trying to speak into him.
No.
You're just letting him open up and being an ear for him.
If we approach this, people think of ministry, and they think, okay, let's write down a few scriptures and let's be like the Jehovah's Witnesses and
Oh
go out
boy.
there and stand on a corner and bombard people with the word, and then eventually it'll break them down enough where they repent and that'll be another soul saved. No, that's not the way that it works.
No, and we are so beyond that agenda-driven or program-driven idea of sharing Christ.
There is something about each and every one of us innately. We all want to be recognized. We all want to be made to feel important. If you can take the time to listen to somebody's story, the impact you could have on their life is enormous.
Just by listening, op ha having them feel that you are a trusted individual, that you are sincere, you want to know something about them rather than trying to share who you are and your story when they may not be interested yet.
It's not about me. It's not about me and pushing my agenda and pushing my story. It's about the Father speaking through me.
Yeah, and how can we elucidate on that a moment? You say it's not about me.
No, never has been. I made the mistake time and time again, where I would think and I would say, well, God, this is what the scripture says. This is what you want me to do. You want to go and preach your word, get those Bible verses down, and that's how you change souls. That's how you.
And that scene
I
is
remember the
so.
pastors at the old church I went to. Remember
Oh,
them teaching me
hey,
this?
that's behind us. But Scott, when you say it's not about me,
No.
I see that being conveyed through you now, in that just how you relate to these individuals and how this whole community is forming and your interactions and how you are looking at this as something you really, really enjoy. If it was about you, I would dare say that you would be there trying to impress people. You would have an agenda. You would be taking the pictures, the selfies, right?
Probably you'll be embarrassed by more than a few of them, but yeah.
Well, but see, but that's when it's about me,
Yeah.
right?
And a lot of the younger guys, sadly, the high school, I've talked to a couple of the high school, I got to know a couple of the high school kids down there this summer when the gym they let the high school kids come in for free during the summer. So they just have something to do, and it became more of a daycare center than thing. But that's another point. But I talked to a few of them. They're a few of them, not all of them. A few of them, their main goal of exercising and getting healthier was to, obviously to attract the girls. Hey, that's all fine. And but I've also listened to a few of the females who go down there and talk to a couple of them, and their general perception of that type of person is, well, that he might look okay, but eventually he's going to want something from me. And if they're thinking that, You know, that's what their perception is.
See, again, that's all part of our culture. And it for the guy, yeah, it's like, well, who can I hunt for? It, unfortunately, with the women, it's turned into a game where I can tease and still have control. Yeah, it's just
Like
it's so.
I told you about the young lady, you know,
Yeah.
that I saw her this morning with taking the pictures and the
Right. It's so.
I don't want to say that I laugh at her when she's doing that. It's just I feel a little bit sad because
Right.
you see the road that they're starting to
Yeah, exactly.
go down, and it's like,
Wow.
yeah,
It is
why?
about me. It's about me. Yeah. It's so unfortunate that that's this twisted way that as we've said, the younger generation and in the older as well, that's where they got it from. This self look and self love and really wanting my own self to be prominent.
I've seen it in some of the you know, some of the older folks too. So
Yeah, no kidding. It's yeah, we're not impervious to this. This is the offspring of who we what we've germinated or we fostered. Yeah.
remember, the deceiver was the one who said that we can be different.
Yeah, you're right on. That's where it started. That's right. Yeah. And Adam wouldn't have been so curious had he not fallen into this disrespect for himself. When you think about it, that's how he was vulnerable. That's how he was open to it. And the enemy could see that and knew he knew how to tempt him. That's what James says. It when That's how temptation gets a hold is when there is a desire, right?
You know, don't be mistaken. Don't misunderstand it. The desires are always going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
They're always going to pop up. They just because we come to the realization that, you know, the Father is in me, that is who I really am. That doesn't mean that those desires go away. I still have from time to time the desires of the things that I used to do. The only difference being now is I know I realize the trouble that comes with it.
Amen. Ah, and see, that's maturity. Yeah, that's wisdom. And we can look at ourselves and say, "Nah, I can make that choice. That isn't gonna bring any good thing."
It has no
Okay.
benefit.
And so the allure is trounced right there. Say, no, that's not me. I don't need to go that way. As you learned, that bag of potato chips didn't really help your self-image, did
If anything, it fed it.
Right.
Literally.
Literally.
You know, you kind of segued into the writing that I did this morning.
Yes, I was wondering if you wanted to touch on that. I've left the door
Our
open, haven't I? Yeah.
friend Neon Dion, you know, and everybody knows who Deion Sanders is. He right now he's the head coach of the University of Colorado. His son is the quarterback there. I think he's got
Yeah.
another younger son who also plays on the team. But back in the day, Deion was one of the biggest trash talking SOBs that you ever played the game. And the reason that I didn't like him back then is because he always played on teams that, you know, played against the teams I liked.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
he would always be talking trash to my team, and I'd be, you know, shaking my fist at the TV screen. You're gonna take that from him. But what I wrote this morning is that one thing, and I think I sent you this that clip of that interview that he did. And that's what gave me the inspiration to write what I did this morning. Is that he Dion, you know, for all that he knows who he is. And in the profession that he's in, there's a lot of people, who will talk to him and, and accuse him of being somebody that he knows he isn't.
Right.
Accuse him of being this, that, and the other thing. And finally, Dion just came out and said, "What gives, whatever taught you to believe that I care what you think about me?"
Right.
That's classic Dion Sanders. He's
And I agree with you. He's developed real confidence in who he is. But as I responded to you, and my question still is that the personification of Christ?
You see, he talks a lot about having faith. He talks a lot about religion. But my question, if I was going to sit down face to face with him, my question would be to him would be, are you religious or do you know Jesus?
Yeah, exactly. See,
And
I think.
one of the quotes that he said that he said in that clip, "God made me, so you can't break me." I'm thinking to myself, okay, you seem to have a knowledge about the truth,
Exactly.
but do you know the truth?
Yeah. And Scott, this is a real fine line. I believe you have someone, and of course, I'm only observing from the sidelines, and I don't know this man intimately. Okay, so I have to be careful how I judge this. But here
Oh,
you
go
have
ahead,
a
hammer him. He
no.
can't.
Hey, we see this a lot in what I call or refer to as, and here again, please don't take any offense. It's the Christianity that's kindergarten level, and it tells people, oh yeah, believe in yourself. You can do everything because you're a Christian, and you can back it with scripture, and you have all this going for you, and so just stand firm, man. Well, when
What is Paul, the verse that Paul says, "I speak to you as children"?
exactly.
I think Paul was going through the different levels of spiritual maturity that was.
Yeah, you're very, very, very good, because he points out in that passage, I think it's 1 Corinthians 3, that yes, they still had what was called carnality. And carnality is really soulishness, it's fleshiness. They may have their spirit in line with God, but their mind, their souls are still exhibiting that fleshiness, that allure of the world, the love of the world, these kinds of things. All right. Now, again, I'm being real careful here, and I don't want to judge Dion, but he, I believe, illustrates that what happens, the Christianity that I was very involved with, and particularly with men's ministries, that was the big thing. Get a character like Deion Sanders, stand him up in front of a bunch of guys and say, hey guys, this is what it means to be a man. Confidence in who you are, speaking boldly, being unafraid to take any criticism.
Bill
You
McCartney.
Yes, unfortunately, Scott. And
Coach Mack. Hell,
yeah, look at Coach Mack and all the other, remember all the other athletes and people that we in those days were paraded in front of these thousands of men and presumably were idols, all right?
let's don't get it twisted. They were paid to speak.
Oh my goodness. And I'm telling you, my mind goes to some unfortunate circumstances and a couple of pastors that were drawn into that kind of environments and made out to be the examples of who Christ-like man was really to be. Well, one of those has been literally defrocked from the ministry right now. And I think that whole curriculum series, and I won't name names or whatever, has been taken down off of the internet. Because it's very unfortunate his life was so full of hypocrisy. He spoke and preached and gained thousands of people into his church, but inwardly, it was a mess, and it came out. So now I'm not saying that about Dion, please. This is not saying this is Dion's, but here's, I just want to point out that the very way we have to be careful. I admire Dion, and I think what he's trying to do is really admirable with these young athletes.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be careful. Who is the me he's projecting? Who is that man that he's projecting? I think in contrast to what you've just shared here today, there's a big difference. A big difference. The man that you're portraying isn't you. And the one that you're having confidence in is not you.
No. Yeah. It's right? As the scripture says, I can do nothing mm-hmm. except through what Christ enables me to do.
Exactly. So I find it really interesting if we watch through the gospel, the narrative of Jesus when he was on earth in the flesh
mm-hmm.
and how he never, you can probably say he never worried about what people think of him, but at the same time, he never exuded this arrogance.
No.
Did he? He never had.
No, he knew who he was.
Yeah. He didn't mean that he had to show himself. He didn't, there was no showiness. There was no blathering arrogance.
The Pharisees came right up to him and said, you're a heretic.
Yeah. Well,
and then Jesus turned the tables on him and said, no, woe to you, Pharisees. You're the ones who are.
Yeah. They had to dig deep to find anything to really accuse him of.
Mm-hmm.
Had he been this glamorous, aggressive, flamboyant prophet that came across onto the scene
mm-hmm.
and dressed to the nines or however, or, you know, just differently, I think they might have had something to go on. But they couldn't nail him on anything of his personal character. They had to get him on things that he had done that were against the law, right?
I think that's why he had such a large following.
Yeah.
Is because of how authentic he was.
Exactly. Real authentic person.
Mm-hmm.
And he would say it was the Father.
Yeah.
You see me, you see the Father.
No, he didn't take personal credit for what he did.
No. In fact, he threw it off. Don't call me good. There's only one who is good. All right. So he was very good about making that distinction with people. And yet at the same time, he was very confident in saying, hey, I'm here. I'm the Father. So mm-hmm. you had this wonderful way of this mature way and wise way of walking in the flesh, demonstrating that it wasn't about him. It was about the Father who was in him.
Yeah.
And that's, Scott, that's what I see happening here in you and others who have seen this revelation of Christ in us.
Mm-hmm.
And here you've been, what? How many years now have you walked in this revelation?
About 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. And it didn't, all this didn't happen overnight.
No.
This is a journey.
It's this only by the revelation of the Father that this is.
Yeah. It comes out slowly, step by step, and what a process it's been. It's wonderful.
I was out there on a hike one day, and some guy threw a couple of seeds out there, and
well, and those seeds found fertile soil, all right, in mm-hmm. your heart, and that's what I praise God for. But here we are, and I'm so thankful to be able to share with you and all those who are watching and listening the practical ways that this knowledge of Christ in us is showing itself in our lives. And here you giving testimony to how it's affecting and showing himself in you, right?
Now, what is the similarity between me and Dion Sanders?
Well, there is a...
Now you see, if you read the post this morning, you already know this.
Yes. Well, without actually going back and finding or seeing the words that you're saying, I agree with you in the sense that you are confident in who you are.
Exactly. There's
Now.
people out there who I know who are really not so confident about the things things that I do and if it's good enough for me. Hey, I know I know who I am. I know the Father. I know the Father in me.
Amen. And how I know that
This isn't me.
exactly. See, how I know the authenticity of this is you just saying what you did. It isn't about me. Right? Wow.
And
Well,
like I said at the beginning, if you're looking to get in, anybody who watches this, if you're looking to get into that fitness journey, find something you enjoy doing.
exactly. There you
And
go.
that would be the best starting point.
And you're
If
doing
there's
it because you are excited and free. I don't have the best words to describe it, but you're going at it from a much better way or motivation. You're not looking to fitness to change your identity. You're looking to fitness to improve who you really are. You're just adding more value to your feeling about yourself in Christ. Don't know if that makes sense, but
Yeah, we'll roll with it.
hey, this has been good, guy. I thank you for your transparency and willing to share this. I think it'll really minister to a lot of people. So again, I'm Dennis Dierdorf, and this is Scott Wakefield. If you have any questions for Scott, I'm going to link his email. You
Yeah, any
can email
questions about
directly.
getting started on a fitness journey or anything in that nature, I'll be happy to join that conversation.
And I will also link again, as we've done in the past, to Scott's blog, and you can read about his latest.
Hey, I might just introduce
Op-ed.
the I might just introduce the gin rats in tomorrow's page. You never know.
Here, there you go. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks again, man. Appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure.
And leave comments on our page here. Let us know what you think, or write to knowingjesus22@outlook.com. All right.
All right, my
Have a good
friend.
day. You going down to the gym today?
Yeah, I just got back.
You just got back. But you love it so much, you probably go back, won't you?
Yeah, you can count on that.
All right. Take care, man.
All right.